Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey y'all, I'm Joe Tower, and you're listening to Tales of Our Folly, a storytelling podcast. Each episode, we will bring you one new story recorded live at one of our past shows in Los Angeles. Every month, we'll also bring you one bonus episode, a one-on-one interview with a local storytelling all-star to discuss story, folly, and how they both play a role in all of our lives. Each of our live shows is a lineup of four storytellers sharing one true personal story in front of a live audience about the shame and embarrassment of being a human. I'm the host and creator, and if you're ever in the LA area, check out our Facebook page or our website at www.talesofourfolly.com for updates on upcoming event dates and times. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Pippa, Spotify, or wherever you download your damn podcasts. If you've got a story you'd like to tell in spoken or written form, email us at talesofourfolly@gmail.com. All right, enough chit-chat. On with the folly.
Yet again, we're going to dive back into this last March's show, in which we batted 1,000 with our lineup. You're about to hear a story from Emmy Award winner, LeBron James fan, and hip-hop aficionado, Amy Rhodes. Now, I got an obvious soft spot for Amy because she and I both come from the rural Midwest, but the fact of the matter is, everyone has a soft spot for Amy because she's so goddamn awesome. Stick around here, put your feet up, and listen good to this story about a farm girl's first big college party. This is Amy Rhodes' Tale of Our Folly.
I have notes in case I like panic and decide I hate myself and have to, you know, second guess everything. Okay. So I am a youngest child, and this is a story basically about, well, what is this about? I guess it's about the most embarrassing thing I barely remember doing. So like I said, I'm a youngest child. And growing up, I grew up in Iowa. I was very attached to my mother. Like, I couldn't even spend the night at a friend's house when I was growing up. I remember I would go to slumber parties, and then, like, when the girls were, like, doing, like, light as a feather, stiff as a board, I'd, like, go talk to the parents. And eventually get one of them to drive me home. And one time I went home, and I didn't, like, I guess they didn't call my parents and tell them I was coming home, and my parents were having a hot tub party with some of their friends. And that should have, like, I should have after that, like, gone to slumber parties, but that didn't, you know, that didn't cure it. And I never went to sleepaway camp or anything like that. And so my older brother and sister both went off way far away from Iowa for college. And of course, every one of my friends was going to the University of Iowa. Everyone in my family assumed that that's what I would do because I couldn't be away from my parents. But instead, I decided to go to Boston, which was 2,000 miles away, to college. I went to Tufts, thank you. I went to Tufts University, which, if you don't know, it's the school that people go to when they can't get into Brown. So I went to Tufts University, and my mom drove me there from Iowa. So we were taking this road trip, and I think my mom, for the first like 15 or 20 minutes, like I was like talking, and then for the next 2.5 days, I was just like openly weeping in the car. And so I got She Tufts and, you know, got set up in my dorm room. My roommate was from Spain, which just the fact that she spoke a different language intimidated me. So I didn't want to speak to her, you know. I mean, she also spoke English, but I was like, she's so cultured, you know. And so I asked my mom if I could come home with her, and she said no. And she left, and then I went to orientation, which I got dressed up for. I wore a really nice dress, and when I showed up there, everyone else was like, you know, dressed like a normal 18-year-old, which is like, and a lot of the girls were like wearing, I remember they were all wearing Timberlands and like baseball hats and stuff like that, and they all seemed to know each other, like they had grown up together in Connecticut, or a lot of them had gone to, and I want to phrase this correctly, like a camp for Jewish people, not a Jewish camp, like not a concentration camp, like, you know, which would be kind of weird. I mean, this story could all of a sudden be like, my female folly is that, like, I'm a Nazi, you know, it's just something I do. So they all fucking knew each other, and they were all from like New York or like Greenwich and all this stuff, and we were doing this M&M game where you had to take an M&M and say something about yourself, and like mine was like, you know, I grew up in Iowa, and I said that, and this guy Eric Goldman, Jewish, looks at me, he's like, Iowa, did you have like an outhouse there? And like, no, obviously I did not have a fucking outhouse, like, but it really, it like hurt my feelings, and I was super embarrassed. I mean, I wasn't like that hurt. Like 2 months later, I gave him like a hand job in our stairwell. So it wasn't like, I wasn't super mad at him, but like, I was definitely mad enough that I was like, okay. And that was like, oh, by the way, just a little sidetrack thing about me that was fun freshman year is I was like, I want to be slutty, but I'm from Iowa, so I'm going to just give hand jobs. So it's like kind of slutty, but kind of like Midwestern slut, you know? I don't know. And like, this is a total tangent, but I'm going to tell it anyway, is that one time, like, my roommate and I eventually became friends, and we went to a party. This is how much of a, like, non-slut I was. We went to a frat party, and we went upstairs, and there was a guy on his computer. He was, like, working, and we just, like, were drunk, and we, like, wander into the room, and I'm like, hey, and he turns around, and he's like, hey, and I turned to my roommate friend at the time, and I go, get out, like, but I was trying to mouth it, and she just left. Then I gave him a hand job, and then I left. What? Like, no, that was like a downer for both of us, you know what I mean? So anyway, okay, but before any of that happened, you know, I had this like great shame that I was from Iowa. So when people started asking me where I was from, I started saying like, I live just outside of Chicago, which is 6-hour drive if you, sure. I never, I would call my parents like, I think almost every day and ask if I could come home. And the only time I like went out was one time my RA felt bad for me, and she like took me into Boston and took me out to dinner. And at the end of the dinner, I was like, this is really great. Thank you. Can I ask you a favor? And she's like, anything. And I was like, will you call my mom and ask her if I can come home? And she was like, no. So finally my parents made this deal with me where they said, stay until Thanksgiving, and then if you still want to come home and be done with, you know, college and I guess life, apparently, then you can come home. So we struck this deal, and I went home at Thanksgiving, and sort of like having detached myself from my parents unwillingly, I sort of saw things more clearly. I'm like, oh, my dad is an alcoholic, and my mom does not like my dad. Like, no, I shouldn't stay here. This is not a good way to live the rest of my life. And then the other thing that happened was I got into my college improv group, which, thank you. Oh my God, you guys, thank you so much. Like every, it's a really big deal. And of course, as with any improv group. My troupe was called Side Effects. I'm sure you were all in a... If you did any sort of comedy in college, you all, too, were in a group called Side Effects, right? Or something of that, you know what I mean? Like, or the funny bones. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, right? But you know what I'm saying. And that sort of made me feel like, oh, I'm going to be making friends. And I did. I started to become friends with these people, and we would have rehearsals, but like they were all kind of like older, you know? And so I remember one Friday night, you know, at the end, we had like a rehearsal, and then like everyone was leaving. And this guy, Mark, he was an upperclassman, really nice, was like, so I was like, hey, what are you doing tonight? He's like, oh, I'm going to a party off campus. I'm like, whoa, that's so cool. You know, like, and I was like, and then he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I might like go to a restaurant. Like, what? By myself. And so I mean, he took some pity on me, and he's like, do you want to go to this party with me? And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. So I like went to my dorm, and I like put on my finest tights and, you know, my jean skirt, you know, I was ready to rock it out, still didn't know how to dress, and like these platform boots, like that were like a platform with a heel, you know, I had no business in them whatsoever, but I was wearing them. And, you know, it was winter in Boston, and we went to this party. And one thing I can tell you about how it was off campus in someone's house, and Boston has these like really big houses that they make into apartments. And how they do it is like there's usually a back entrance to these houses, so it'd be like three levels, and there's just the really, really narrow stairs to each apartment, so that you're like not walking. I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense, or I should kill myself. What? I think you get what I'm saying. If you don't, like, I don't know. That's on you. We had to go up to the third floor of this house is what I'm trying to explain to you. And I know it took me entirely too long to say that. But the stairs were really narrow, you know, and I was wearing this fucking platform boot. So it's like a big deal that I made it to this party is what I'm getting at. I've already won at this point, right? And then I'm at this party and like, I don't fucking know anybody. And Mark, except Mark, who's like off with his friends, and like these people are all older and they just definitely seem cool. And I think some of them were like locals, and like I was not yet like, I hand jobs weren't my go-to yet, so I didn't know what to do. So I just proceeded to get real drunk. And then I'm like wandering around the party. And I wander into the kitchen, and there's at the table a group of my friend Mark is sitting there, and then there's like a group of all men, and somebody is rolling the biggest fucking joint I have ever seen in my entire life. And I like hip hop, so I've seen a lot of big joints, right? I don't know. But no, I just really remember it being a very big joint. And now I will tell you that in high school, I smoked a lot of weed with my mime troupe. And I know that all the things I just said, all those words shouldn't be in the same sentence, but they are. And I did rip 4-foot bong hits with my fellow mimes. So I fucking loved weed. And for whatever reason, when I was in college at that time, like it was kind of harder to get weed. I don't know. So I hadn't smoked since, you know, I'd been at school. And so I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna like smoke weed, right? And then I proceeded to make a series of three very fatal mistakes, I would say. I sat down at the table. I guess it was four. The first is that I even bothered to sit down at this table where nobody had asked me to join this group or any of those things. The second thing was my choice of seats was to sit on a cooler full of beer. So then nobody had access to the beer. So then I'm watching them pass the joint around, and it's coming around and it's coming around. And I'm just like trying to be cool. And the guy next to me takes a hit. And then that little bitch starts passing it the other way. Oh, shit. Right. I know. Right. And here's where that was on him, because I was also at the time starting to feel very nauseous. And weed, if you don't know, does make you feel better when you're nauseous. So I was just kind of waiting it out. But when that started going the other way, there was nothing I could do. So I just leaned over, threw up on the floor, sat up and tried to pass it off as if nobody saw that happen. And then the next part of the story, I for sure feel like, you know, sometimes your brain sort of protects you and like you remember things differently than they really happened, you know, so that you can get through life. I always sort of remembered that then somebody passed me the joint, but like I'm fairly certain that if I threw up on the floor, nobody was like, oh, she just puked, like definitely pass her the joint. So I think what happened was I leaned across the table. I took the joint. I took a huge hit. And then I don't know why, but I said, smoke 'em if you got 'em. And then instead of passing the joint to someone else, I dropped it by accident into a puddle of beer. At which point, Mark goes, okay. And I looked at him and I said, I'll go. And so I got up. And now you're going to see why those stairs were an issue. So it was two flights of stairs, but thank God there was a landing in the middle, because I took one step and then I was on the landing in the middle. And I fell down those stairs and I turned and I looked, and all those dudes that had been sitting at the table were now like in the door frame looking at me. And so I stood up and there was a broom against the side, you know, like they had a broom there. So I was like, well, you know, I'm in an improv group. Why not improvise for these men, right? And so I grabbed the broom and pretended it was a microphone and said, Elvis has left the building. And then I turned around and fell down the next flight of stairs. At which point I had committed to being Elvis, so I stood up and said, thank you very much. What? And left. And my friend Mark walked me home that night. And we were I'm so sorry. And he's like, it's fine. Who cares? Nobody's going to fucking remember this on Monday. Who cares? And he was so nice about it. When we were walking back to my dorm, I had to pee really bad. And there, I remember there was like a police line, do not cross. So I crossed that fucking police line and I popped a squat. And he stood, my friend Mark was like, nothing to see here, people. Keep on moving. And I thought that was so funny and so cute. And he was like making me laugh. And then people were walking by and some guy's like, why are you fucking popping a squat? And I was like, because I'm from Iowa, bitch, and I can pop a squat because that's what I had to do all through high school and every party I went. And I was, all of a sudden, I was just real proud of where I was from, you know? And that night really shifted that for me. And I think that I learned a really big lesson that night, which was this. I needed to drink a little bit more so I didn't remember this kind of behavior, right? So the night that I did 7 shots of Jack Daniels and then somebody put me to bed and I kicked open my dorm room door and started singing, Who Let the Dogs Out? I don't remember that, so I can't feel ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed that I went on spring break and got on a ping pong table and said, does anybody want to see my Andrew Dice Clay impression? Because I don't remember doing it, but I assume that my impression was fucking great. So the other thing I learned was why all those bitches were wearing Timberlands, because they have traction on the bottom of them. So I got myself some Timberlands. And then the third thing, and probably the most important thing I learned, was that when you fall down as a woman, you're taught you should do it gracefully. And if you fuck up as a woman, you should never have the audacity to try to do that exact same thing again. But I've never lived my life that way, and I'm totally fine. So I have this quote on my on a magnet on my refrigerator, because I keep it on my refrigerator because I like to pretend that I have low blood sugar so I can eat like 30 or 40 times a day. And so I see this quote quite a bit, which is, ever try, ever failed, no matter, try again, fail better. It's by Samuel Beckett. And I will say that I have never succeeded unless I've failed at something first. And all of the things that I've accomplished are born out of failing better. And yeah, I guess that's it. I don't know. I had something else, but now I can't fucking remember what I was going to say at the end. Oh, that, yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. I'll think of it. And then tonight I'll be laying in bed and I'll like want to, you know, I'll be mad at myself that I forgot it. But that's failing better next time, right? Anyway, thank you, Joe, for letting me do this.
This podcast is produced and hosted by me, Joe Tower, and executive produced and edited by Brian Weiss. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and rate us below. If you hated what you heard, let us know what we can do better. And also, go fuck yourself. For all other info, please visit www.talesofourfolly.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.